step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, here we go. Headlines, 4 o'clock right here on a Friday afternoon. Sports Radio 950 KJR, Softy and Dick, brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's.
Extremely difficult. Boy, they were so close. So close.
Well, the Seahawks have made it official. I guess the worst-kept secret in the country. Shane, what's his name? The new OC?
Waldron.
Waldron has been hired as the offensive coordinator from the Rams, and he's bringing a pal with him, Andy Dickerson. No relation to Noah. Is the new run game coordinator for the Hawks. Shane Waldron, Andy Dickerson, both confirmed today by the Hawks as members of the offensive coaching staff.
We got a 7-way tie for first at Torrey Pines. With some big names up there. John Rahm, Adam Scott, Tony Finau, Patrick Reed, all part of the 8-under crew after two rounds at Torrey Pines.
Pretty big names right there, baby. Lions are adding ex-UW quarterback Mark Brunell to their new staff as the new quarterback coach. And Deuce Staley, remember him, the running back, is going from Philadelphia to the Lions to start eating people's kneecaps. At the request of Dan Campbell. Now, he's the assistant head coach, running back coach.
Good news for Washington coach Ron Rivera. He was declared cancer-free in his latest checkup. And JT Tuimoloau of Eastside Catholic, arguably the number one player in the class of 21, says he will not announce a decision until April.
Wow.
The Huskies are one of the teams left along with Alabama, OSU, USC, and Oregon.
The Packers, Mike Pettine, the guy that called that cockamamie ridiculous defense against the Buccaneers at the end of the half in the NFC Championship game, his contract is up and he's not going to come back to Green Bay.
You don't say. You don't say.
Rob Manfred hiring Ken Griffey Jr. to serve as senior advisor on the Youth Initiatives and Diversity Program.
You can't just sneak that one in there at the end. That's a big story.
Is
Griffey's
really?
Got a job with baseball? Yeah.
I mean, they probably called him up. Hey, Ken, can you go see some kids for a while?
Or
put it on the.
Ken called Manfred and said, hey, man, I'm kind of bored. Got something I can do. Sure.
I doubt it was that
Come
way.
On over. John Chaney, by the way, legendary Temple head coach for 24 years. Of their basketball team, five-time Elite Eight coach, NCAA tournament 17 times, Basketball Hall of Famer John Chaney has passed away at the age of 89. So thoughts are with him, his family, the Temple Owl basketball faithful. But joining us right now on the radio show, in 35, 40 years from now, when you got your grandkids on your lap and you're talking about the year the Kraken came to Seattle, you can ask him, hey, kids, who was the very first TV face and voice of the Kraken hockey team? I don't know, Dad. Grandpa, why don't you tell us? Well, it was a guy named John Forslund who happens to join us right now on the radio show. For the first time, let's welcome in the face of Kraken hockey on TV starting in the fall from NBC, John Forslund. John, what's happening, pal?
Thanks, guys. Great to be with you. And you know what you'll say? You'll say he lasted a week, but it was a great week.
Well, I was going to say he's a guy that Todd Lywicki says is one of the best broadcasters in the sport, but don't get too fired up about that because Lywicki says that stuff about everybody, man. So it's not really that big of a deal. But you are one of the best in the sport. There's no doubt. Working for NBC, spent, 25 years or so with Carolina, the Whale out in Hartford, man. Tell us about more about where you came from, your background, and why you took this job in Seattle, John.
Well, I started in 1984 in the American Hockey League in Springfield, Mass., and I was in that league for 7 years and did my due diligence and rode the buses and learned a lot about the game and myself. And then I joined the Whalers in 91. I became their TV voice in 95, and the team migrated to North Carolina in 97. And so we started from day one here in this area. Played out of market for a couple of years. Remember now, this is not an expansion situation, so it was hit the ground running in about 4 months. You didn't have the build-up that the Kraken have done with their franchise. and went through it all here. Some great moments, a Stanley Cup in 06, some deep playoff runs, a 10-year drought of not making the playoffs. So we went through it all. Got to watch Russell Wilson grow here as a player and enjoyed that. And now this opportunity has come my way. And it's an ending that happened to me in June that I wasn't expecting in terms of my tenure with Carolina. Ronnie Francis reached out to me on July 1 as a friend just to ask me how I was. After that conversation, he said, you know, I'm going to put you in touch with Todd Lewicki, and you guys can have a conversation if you would consider us. And after looking at all everything and listening to him and kind of doing more research, I'd be an idiot not to take this job, not to take a run at it. It's a great opportunity for anybody that does what I do to get a second chance to start from day one and be part of the history of what should be a great franchise.
Well, it's got to be a place you want to live, too. And I read where you had never been to Seattle before
never.
You accepted the job. So what
never.
Did you know about Seattle, and why did you decide, kind of sight unseen, that you wanted to pack your family up and move 3,000 miles?
Well, it's always appeared to be a great, you know, sports market, right? So, I mean, watching it from afar, I'm a big sports fan, follow all of it, and I'm old enough to go all the way back to the glory days of the Supersonics with Gus Williams and downtown Freddie Brown and Jack Sigma and all those teams. And I remember the crowds during those deep playoff runs. I remember, you know, them playing not only in the old building, but also going over to the Kingdome, watching the Mariners over the years, watching the Seahawks, and most importantly, watching the fan involvement for the Seahawks and what that atmosphere is like. And if it feels that way just watching off the television, I can only imagine what it's like in person. But then just recognizing what the Kraken are all about and watching them as an outsider grow this thing, announce it, all the marketing exploits that they've shown us here in the last couple of years, you know, the buildup, you realize it looks like a great organization. And then through my conversations with Todd and now getting deeper into this, I'm realizing that. And then knowing Ron and having a comfort zone with him, and I've seen Ronnie grow as a player and coach and manager and so on, and I know the hockey operations is in really good hands.
All right. Well, first of all, nice job with the Sonic references there, by the way. Second of all, I noticed that you're from Massachusetts originally, and Dick, the guy's probably a damn Patriot fan, for crying out loud.
No, I'm a Kansas City Chief fan.
Oh, really? Okay. How did that happen?
Yeah. They were great when I was a kid, and I loved the AFL. Like, I was a big AFL guy. Basically because it just looked like a more exciting brand of football, and the uniforms were cool and the fields were colored up and all that, and the Chiefs were great with Lenny Dawson and Buck Buchanan and all those guys, and I latched on to the Hank Stram and the Chiefs way back when.
There you go. Yep, 65 toss power trap, baby. Well, it there's no doubt that
it, boys.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
There's, you know what, you should work that into your broadcast every now and then. That's a free tip from me to you. Not that you don't have any idea what the hell you're doing.
I need that.
John Forslund's with us. You mentioned Ron Francis, and John is the new TV voice of the Kraken, by the way. So you were with him, I believe, in Carolina as a player, a general manager, and I believe also when he was the president. What are we getting in Ron Francis out here, John?
Well, here's the first thing you should know. I watched him as a fan in the 80s when I was working in Springfield, and he was playing in Hartford. And then I ended up with the Whalers in PR in 1991, and that was the season after he was traded, the previous trading deadline. So I saw the fan base and the season ticket base go from around 12,000 in a 15,000 seat building to about 6 in one summer. And it was a lot about, obviously, what he meant to the team, but he had such a footprint in the community and had such an impact there. And that's something you got to know about him, because he's a Hall of Fame player, but he's a Hall of Fame person. And then I got to see him come back to the Hurricanes organization late in his career, finish it off, and then take himself from that into coaching and into management. And when he went into the management world, you could really see how the hockey IQ that helped him be such a great player now was going to manifest itself in the manager's chair. And he took a team here in Raleigh that basically had zero in terms of prospects and, you know, how to build a team, how to build a winner. And in a short period of time, went through a process of drafting and developing that he built up a prospect base enough to win a minor league championship in 2019. And what you see today is really his team. They've tweaked a little bit here. They've done a pretty good job in a couple of years, and in 2019 they went to the conference final. But by and large, it's got Ron Francis all over it. So he's going to take all that with him. He'll surround himself with great people, and he's going to have a plan. And you're not going to know what the plan is. He won't tell anybody, but he has a plan. And you just let him do what he needs to do, and they'll put a winner on the ice, trust me.
John, you've had to do this before, coming to a market with a bunch of hockey neophytes. You did it in Carolina, yeah. And now you're doing it here. How do you tailor your description of the game, knowing that you're not talking to a ton of puckheads right away?
Well, you have to be careful with that, right? So what our philosophy here, and it was way different in 97. You didn't have all the social media and all the ways that people can absorb this and get exposed to the game. So it was kind of different, but we realized, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to dumb it down? Are you going to tell people why the blue line's blue and why the red line's red? Or are you going to do a good telecast? And I think the way I'm going to approach it is this. I'm very proud of my work. I'm very proud of what we did here with our local telecasts. I mean, our telecasts in Raleigh and the Athletic were voted number one in a fan survey in and out of market for the last season. And that's pretty good. And I think we can do that there too. And so if you do that and you build trust with your fan base and it's a credible broadcast and then they realize the product is really good on television, then you can get to any kind of education you need to apply. Because fans will watch, and if they are new, they'll become some of your greatest followers. That's been my history here. Some of the people that never even saw the game before became, we call them caniacs, became these full-fledged wackos as far as the team is concerned. The same thing can happen there, but I think you have to take it step by step, and you can't dumb it down too much. So we're going to hit it with a real, you know, hockey broadcast like it should be, and then you're going to go from there. And then you're going to be able to, you know, educate along the way and tell the stories, most importantly, of the players, too, so they get a strong connection to whoever those Kraken players become.
Well, John Forslund, again, is with us. You'll hear his voice. You'll see his face a lot. He's the new TV play-by-play man of the Kraken starting late fall on Root Sports, by the way. And I'm not sure about you, John, but I hate when I hear my own voice coming after the radio show. I hate when people ask me questions like, hey, what's your signature? Your line you like to use on the air? I don't know. You tell me. I hate. So I'm going to ask you a question that I hate when people ask me. I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. Do you have a couple signature lines?
I do. I mean, but they've developed organically over time. It's not something that I scripted out and say I'm going to run with this. The one that's the most personal for me is this. Hey, hey, what do you say? Mm. Which stamps a goal that I think clinches the game, which can come at any point. You know, obviously, over time, that's it. But, I mean, earlier in the game, if I think it's a lock, in this case for the Kraken, I'll apply it on a goal. Yep. And it's a tribute to my father. My father died my first season doing this in 1984. I was 22. He died early at 59, suddenly in his sleep, and he was my best friend. And he used to say that all the time. And in the minors, I decided to use it. And then a couple of years after I used it a few times, I then went with it when I thought it was an important goal. And then the team got some success. Some writers wanted to know about it. It came with me to the National Hockey League. I've used it on local broadcasts ever since, and that's going to come with me to Seattle.
John, is the buzz surrounding this team comparable to what you've seen in prior expansion teams, or is it different?
It's about the same as Vegas, right? It's about the same as Vegas. It's way different than in the 90s. We had this, you know, every other year it seemed the league was expanding. And they were all different, you know. And even Nashville. Nashville's a thing now because Nashville has morphed into what it is. And the team has gotten better. And they've developed an identity in that arena. That's really cool. But it wasn't there from day one. I see the Kraken situation, guys, similar to what happened in Las Vegas, where as soon as they opened the doors, it was a hit. And I see this being the same thing, because you've got all this vibrancy surrounding the team. The colors are great. The name, I think, is intriguing. There's going to be all kinds of identity around it, and it's going to take on the identity, I hope, of Seattle, a place I've never seen. But I think those two things are the same, and I called Vegas playoff games for NBC in the first season, And once they made the postseason, they just took it up another notch. It was just incredible, and it still is.
Yep.
And I see that happening in Seattle.
Well, we're going to be talking a lot down the road, man. So it's great to have you on the air. Great to meet you. Can't wait to see you in person. And just remember the rule, new guy buys for a year, okay?
A year? Wow.
Yeah, for a year?
Whole year.
Wow.
How about 2 years? How about 2 years?
How about three years? How about 5 years? How about a decade?
No, I'll cap it at two. Okay. I can only go two.
John.
That's if I make it out of the first week, all right?
I think you'll be just fine. John Forslund, great right, stuff. Thanks. Good luck the rest of the year with NBC, and we'll see you when you get out here, man. Appreciate
thanks,
this.
John.
Thank you, guys. Can't wait.
You bet. John Forslund with us on the radio show. New TV face and voice of the Kraken. We'll get a break, a little fun with audio. Slash, hey, did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
Coming up next on 950 KJ.
Casino.com. Now back to Softy and Dick on your exclusive home of Super Bowl 55. Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
This bus is for you.
All right, here we go, baby. Friday 420 means one thing only. It's time for a little fun with audio slash hey, did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Lots of stuff to get to. Lots of stuff. And apparently, there's one clip here that you and I were not allowed to hear. So I was literally, like, in the process of listening to it, got about 10 seconds in, got the text from Jackson, cut it off.
Right as you were listening to it.
That's,
wow.
That's the kind of authority Jackson has over my life.
Well,
him and my wife,
too.
By the way.
Me too, yeah. Because I saw this on Twitter and was going to click on it, but I remembered the text from Jackson. Do not listen to this.
Well, here we go, because this is the clip he's talking about. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
Evidently not.
What's that, Dick?
New Eagles head coach Nick Caserio outlining what kind of football team he wants at his introductory press conference earlier today. Roll it.
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team, that we have a smart football team here. And I know we have the people in place to do that. The first part of that, the first part of being smart is knowing what to do. We're gonna have systems in place that are easier to learn. All right, complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against or the special teams group they're going against, but easy for us to learn. Because when we can put that, when we can learn our system and we can get good at our system, then our talent can take over. Less thinking equals talent take over, but we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place.
Okay, first of all, two things. That's Nick Sirianni. He had written Nick Caserio. I have no problem throwing him under the bus.
Oh,
Nick Caserio is the GM of the Texans. Nick Sirianni is the new head coach of the Eagles. So it's fine. You know, you get your Knicks mixed up. I get it. You know, nobody's perfect. It's fine. You know, just see us after the show's over. but I don't know. I mean, he's getting mocked all over Twitter for that. That he was kind of nervous and he's making obvious points. I mean, what did you make of all that?
Was he reading something, or was he, I mean, it almost seems like he was trying to read something at first, lost his place,
yes,
and then went ad-lib,
yes,
went rogue, and had no idea what he was saying. That's almost kind of, because if you're going to be that nervous,
yeah.
You need to have something scripted, man.
Yeah, he sounded a bit nervous, and I mean, I don't know, I guess that's okay, right? He's a young guy, he got his first job, he's the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I know it doesn't really, you know, inspire a lot of confidence from Eagle fans, I mean, especially out there in Philadelphia. Oh, I can see some loud-mouthed, meatball-eating, hairy-chested Eagle fans say, really? This guy can't even speak? What the hell? He's our coach, he's a bum, he can't even talk! What the hell are we doing? He's a clown. Put makeup on his face. Give him a wig and a funny nose. What are we doing?
Is that a Philly accent or a New York accent?
Whatever. It's all the same. But that's the point, is that you want to win the press conference or you want to win games. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess. Look, man, I can see how some people would be mocking him.
What did assistant program director extraordinaire Kevin Shockey think about it?
I have no idea. He's not here.
Oh, you haven't asked him about it?
Taking the day off. No,
he's
not
taking
here.
The day off. Because he is our resident Eagle fan. I would love to find out what he has to say.
Send him a text. Ask him what he thinks.
Will.
But then stumble in your text to just sound like the guy.
We got a system. It's going to be simple, but it's got to be complex.
You know, being smart is about knowing what you know.
And it's about being smart.
And being smart. And then doing it again. Something like that. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
After losing in the NFC Championship last week, Aaron Rodgers, emotional, discussing all the uncertainty in the Packers offseason ahead. Check it out.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. Just the uncertainty is tough and the finality of it all.
So how do you go on from here? I mean, you kind of hit on some of the realities a minute ago. So how do you go on from here? How do you take the next step?
Yeah, Bill, that's a good question. I don't know. I really don't. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah. And I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything.
See, I love that. I love that emotion that he showed. That was like a half an hour after the game was over on Sunday. You heard Harlan on the radio show this week. He's kind of had enough of his theatrics and his diva and selfish attitude. It's all about me. And we've heard stories, obviously, about what Aaron Rodgers is really like. But, you know, that's the way I would feel if I were a Packer fan. I'd be crestfallen. I'd be pissed. So hearing him talk like that, you know, I mean, I'd love to hear somebody go to Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, man, what'd you make of that stupid play call Mike Pettine made on defense at the end of the half? What'd you make of the ridiculous decision by your idiot head coach to kick that field goal on fourth down? But, I mean, if you want to go poke the bear a half an hour after the game, in a game like that, maybe the worst, the toughest loss of his career in some ways. I mean, you can mention that and the Seahawks loss, those two. In 2014, because the Seahawks game, they're up 19-7 late in the fourth quarter. Absolutely. In this game, they're playing at home. Those were the two worst losses of his career.
You know, it's funny how irrational we are as sports fans, because I was just thinking about how I feel about Aaron Rodgers, and we were talking about how we feel about Tom Brady earlier.
Yeah. Yep.
I should like Tom Brady a lot more than I actually do, and I should dislike Aaron Rodgers a lot more than I actually kind of like Aaron Rodgers, except across the board, everybody's like, dude, this guy's a jerk. Yeah. And nobody says that about Tom. Nobody says Tom Brady is a jerk in real life. He's just a goober.
Yeah, well, maybe you just don't like goobers. Maybe that's your problem. Honestly, you gotta look in the mirror, Fane. Hey, it's your problem.
That's true.
Sounds like your issue. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dick?
Ravens GM Eric DaCosta, which means the Costa. End of season press conference last week. Eric was asked if he'll have trouble signing wide receivers to a football team that doesn't throw the ball a lot.
You know, I'll just call in a line from The Godfather and make him an offer he can't refuse. No, I mean, you know, I don't know, Jerry, it's hard, you know. I mean, I don't really think too much about that. I mean, basically what I do is evaluate the players, and then if we like them, we'll call the agent and we call the player. If they want to play for us, great. If they don't, okay. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's not a lot of rocket science involved. You're not really saying, well, I don't want to play for you guys. You know, I've never had a player yet say to me, I don't want to come play for the Baltimore Ravens because you don't throw the ball.
Huh. Yeah, he's probably right. I mean, if you're a big-time wide receiver, I think you just go where the best offer is. And I think people kind of tend to forget that these guys aren't going to a place where they can run the ball or catch the ball or throw the ball or be featured in the best system. It's not what they're doing. They're looking for the biggest contract available. End of freaking story. That's it. Now, if they're equal, if the two contracts are equal, maybe something like that could play a role. But, my God, these guys are just looking for cash the way you and I are. No different than us. What the hell?
I think they might have to overpay a little bit just because of that. Because, you know, I mean, the Ravens are not going to throw the ball more than 30 times a game, which means that it's going to be really, really hard for a guy to get 11 catches for $150 and two touchdowns on a regular
basis. I think if the contracts are equal, it can play a role. If they're not, and the Ravens are offering the most money, maybe they are offering the most money because of what you said, but if they're offering the most money, they'll go play in Siberia. They'll go play in North Korea. They'll go play in Afghanistan and Amsterdam. They'll go play anywhere they got to play if the bag is the biggest. That's all these guys care about. End of story. Okay?
I'd rather play in Amsterdam than Afghanistan.
I would too. Yeah. I agree with you.
Amsterdam's a fun place.
You've been there?
I have. I haven't been to some of the places that you might be thinking about Amsterdam, but it's still a fun place even if you don't go there.
Dick, did you happen to hear that?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
I'm sorry. I just had a memory.
Of what? That one place you went to?
I'm walking down the red light district, and I like turned my head to one side, and I'm like, whoa, hey, hi.
Yeah.
You know,
They should have a green light district just for families. Just keep going.
That's right.
Keep walking.
Just I was like, Dixon, keep your eyes straight ahead, my son.
All right. Hall of Famer Lawrence Taylor, and he spelled Lawrence wrong, by the way. It's not L-A-U. It's L-A-W. What's wrong?
It's because he was born in 2003, remember?
Oh,
Born in 2003. Like.
He's not 17. Lawrence Taylor joined the Out of Office podcast. Never heard of it. And described how much he loved hitting people while playing and how much he still wants to.
A day in football. If I don't have contact, what the hell am I playing for? I don't want to be out here if I can't hit somebody.
Damn, when you talk like that, I feel like you could hit somebody right now.
And I'm ready to hit you. Knock the glasses right off your face.
If I had a football in my hand and no pads and we're at the 1 yard line, you think I could get past you right now to get through the end zone?
You would be pregnant because I'm going to shove you so far through the end zone.
Wow!
Oh!
Holy crap! Lawrence Taylor's nuts! He's still bananas, but isn't that the line that Millen gave us back in the day about football players, especially the ones on defense, that you don't want players that are getting arrested. You want ones that you think might get arrested. Those are the kinds of guys you want playing for you. At least that was that was the take back in the day. Defensive
ends? Is he
not
the defensive goat? Well, no, defensive goat, period.
Some would say Reggie White. I mean, I think Lawrence Taylor, yeah, I think so.
I mean, Reggie White, Ronnie Lott, Aaron Donald, are in the discussion. But, I remember Lawrence Taylor well. And that dude just lived in backfield.
Some OGs may say guys like Dick Butkus back in the day, different game, different animal. But, yeah, I mean, between Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White and Aaron Donald, I don't know if there's ever been a guy at the line of scrimmage that's wreaked more havoc than those three guys. And obviously they played kind of in different eras, you know. I mean, Lawrence Taylor, 80s, Reggie White, 90s, Aaron Donald now. But, yeah, that's a good call because Holmgren coached against Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White and coached with Reggie White. So he would know. Donald came in after Mike was done, but he would absolutely know between Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor. I just think that Lawrence Taylor is freaking nuts, man.
Well, he was nuts 30 years
absolutely
ago.
Nuts. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that?
What's that, Dick?
All right, Kobe Bryant passing away 1 year ago this week. Storm stars Breanna Stewart and Jewel Lloyd. I like how you're dropping the music there. That's nice. We're going to bring the room down here for a second. Yes. Talking about what Kobe meant to the WNBA and to them personally.
Kobe meant a lot to me. He impacted my life from the moment I met him. We talked a lot. A lot of times it was beyond just basketball. It was about life and how to impact the next generation. And he kind of gave me a vision and guided me through my whole career.
He was one of the first people to reach out to me after I ruptured my Achilles. I flew back from overseas, and when I touched down in LA, I had a message from him, and he was someone that was always there for me, checked in on me, made sure everything was kind of going smoothly, and also made sure that I wasn't rushing it too much to kind of get back on the court.
You know, I think he changed the minds for a lot of people, obviously for a lot of dads too, to support their daughters in the league. And he was there to just help. He wanted to give back as much as he could and support the women's game.
I always thought it was funny that the men that support and appreciate the WNBA the most are the men that are the greatest basketball players in the world.
Yeah, LeBron for sure.
NBA players have far more respect for WNBA basketball than the dude down the street that plays pickup basketball at his kid's elementary school every Thursday.
Well, and you know what? I also find it fascinating that 17 years later, after this sexual assault case was settled out of court in Colorado, two women are coming to his defense and talking about how influential he was.
Yeah.
And Jerry Brewer had the line about, hey, look, if you're upset about what happened to Kobe Bryant and what he got away with or what you think he got away with, he's dead. He died in a plane crash. So whoever's in charge of where we end up going with our lives, he paid the ultimate price. And I don't know, maybe it doesn't change anybody's mind, and I'm not here to change anybody's mind. You think whatever you want about Kobe Bryant. But I would factor in, if I were you, the endorsement from all of the women out there,
yes,
like Breanna Stewart and Jewel Lloyd, who know full well what he was accused of doing.
Yes, I mean, when people die naturally, you know, people are going to say nice things about them, but Kobe's different. I mean, Kobe, like, people are have gone out of their way for a year.
Yep.
To
yep.
talk about what Kobe
no
Bryant
doubt.
Meant to them.
It'll be an anniversary every year that people will bring up forever. Yeah. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that?
What's that, Dick?
After losing on Saturday to Louisville, Duke, who sucks now, by the way, Mike Krzyzewski held a press conference with one student reporter chiming in with a question that Coach K didn't really like.
Hi, Coach. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, when you, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay, so say you just had the toughest econ test in the world. And when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? Does that, you have some empathy and you know, just give us time to evaluate this game and then we'll figure out, just like we always try to do.
Two things that stand out. Number one, he apologized, if you hadn't heard, to the kid afterwards.
I didn't hear.
Yeah. Second of all, he's a student, so he's not just a regular member of the media. He's there to learn how to be a member of the media.
Correct.
And so I guess he just got a lesson from Mike Krzyzewski. And then number three, he's comparing a game against Louisville, who,
an econ class.
I mean, they're okay. They're not awesome, to an econ final. I mean, it's not like you're playing Gonzaga, right, or Baylor, or any team in the top five in the country. I think Mike Krzyzewski is just pissed off and irritated that Duke's not very good, and that he's getting games canceled right and left. That's why. That's why it snapped.
Yes, yes. But how condescending can you get, man? I mean, he should be beyond that at this point in his career. I understand losses are still hard, and
should
I'm glad losses are
still... Should be
comfortable,
you mean. Yeah.
What's
yeah.
that?
He should be comfortable in his
yes.
own skin. Hey, man, whatever.
He should be
hey.
Comfortable. Yeah. I just hope... I've always been a... Same thing with Tom Brady. I have always hated Duke, and yet I have appreciated the job that Mike Krzyzewski has done as a coach, but I hope they sneak into the tournament as like a 10 seed and yep. just get yep. their doors blown off.
Well, again, he did apologize later on, but you know, that's the difference between going and covering a professional baseball team or basketball team or soccer team, is that everyone's there as a pro. They're getting paid. Every school has a student newspaper, radio station, right. some even have TV stations, whatever, and they're there to learn how to do this. So if you're expecting them to have the same kind of approach and tone as a guy that's been doing it for 25 years, look, he gets that, right? Mike knows. He's been around the game for long enough. Had enough student reporters ask him questions. That's why he apologized. But I could just sense that kid that asked that question. And if you went to his house and looked underneath that chair, I guarantee you there's a giant puddle. Okay?
No
After
kid,
what
man.
He went through with that guy, 440. Testimonials, 49451. Coming up next.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
Michael Giannetti from SpotTrack.com is going to join us on the air and talk about the contracts coming up for the Seahawks. What's the market going to look like for Chris Carson, Shaquille Griffin, KJ Wright, for example, mm-hmm. right? Ton of guys on there to talk about. So great stuff from Mike. Those guys do an awesome job at SpotTrack.com. And then Hugh Millen joining us on the radio show.
What's that, Dick?
At 5:20 before Stats Are for Losers at 5:45.
Stats Are for Losers.
Actually, can you guys handle this segment yourselves? I got to go run and get some more GameStop stock. Do you mind? I'll be back in about maybe 15 minutes. You know, if somebody could have told me about a month ago this was going to happen, that would have been nice.
Does it crash back down again? I'm not following
it's back
that closely.
Up to $325 a share. It was $17.69 a share 3 weeks ago. Now it's over $300. I mean, what are we doing? Right? We're in the wrong business, baby. We got to get that magic eight ball. All right, 49451. Testimonials brought to you by our friends at Hammer and Nail. Build on the Coors Light text line. Lots of thoughts on the Seahawk expectation. Good fan, bad fan, spoiled brat conversation we had before. Go ahead and roll it.
I'd rather have losing seasons and two NFC title game appearances. Sorry, Dick. Not satisfied. I'm 36.
Okay. I'm confused. What's the guy saying he wants? What's he talking about there, Jackson? Translate the text for me. I must have missed.
So he's saying that he would rather have a whole bunch of losing seasons, but two NFC title game appearances,
right,
instead of what the Seahawks have got.
Well, but they have a bunch of winning seasons and two NFC title appearances. Right?
I think something of the last 6 years, though.
Oh, the last 6 years.
Oh, there's okay. No way. There's okay. No way I'd trade what the Seahawks have done for four crap seasons and two NFC title appearances?
So let's just go over this.
Way.
So you're talking about since the 2015 season, correct? So we're talking six years.
Yes.
So you're saying you would rather have option A, which is what we've had,
yes,
for the last 6 years. You would rather have like four and 12 seasons and two trips to the NFC championship.
But you lose them both.
No, I wouldn't have that scenario. I wouldn't have option B in that scenario.
No way.
Yeah. That's just such conference title appearances, not Super Bowl appearances. Eh.
You know, I have a massive headache after this conversation. I have no idea why. What's next?
Jackson should probably just sit this one out. He's still wet behind the ears. I've been a Hawk fan since day one, and there's been multiple stretches of 8 years in between that playoff berth.
Oh, he dunked on you.
Flicked on! And flicked in!
You're not old enough to have an opinion yet. You'd be quiet over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, when is the last time? Because we knew the whole Holmgren to Mora thing. I mean, that was a weird,
right,
quick transition.
4-12 and 5-11.
Yeah,
correct,
that,
yes,
that was not a sustained period of poor play.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how far do we have to go back? I mean, we honestly have to go back to pre-Erickson, right? Before... We had to go back to Bearing era before we really had sustained long-term crap.
Yeah, well, Dennis Erickson wasn't great by today's standards. I mean, maybe it looked better then because you didn't have today's standards. But, yeah, I mean, 2-14 and 1992, the worst they've been since the 92 season were those two runs. So if you take away those two runs, which is the transition years, as you said, it's 7-9 is the worst they've been.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, they've had one since 1990. They've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 losing seasons in 30 years. In 30 years. So two-thirds of them have been winning seasons. But look, I mean, here's my point on this whole deal. You want to think like you? Fine. And you're satisfied? You're okay?
Don't use the word satisfied.
Because you are
though.
Satisfied.
But satisfied is
you
not
are.
The right word.
Then what are you then? Because this is driving me crazy.
I am.
What are you?
I am happy with the health of the franchise, but that does not mean that every year I'm just cool losing in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, but what's the difference between happy and content and satisfied? We also agree. Jackson and Softy versus Dick. We agree that the health of the franchise is good, but we also want more. And who are you people to tell us that we shouldn't want more?
I don't even know if Jackson thinks the health of the franchise is good.
I think it's the health good. Of the franchise is comparatively speaking, good.
Yeah.
Good. You have to compare it to the rest of the NFL.
Very
it doesn't
good.
Mean that we want that we don't want more. I want more. I am not satisfied with losing in the first round. I am not satisfied with losing in the second round. You don't agree? Other people don't agree? That's fine. Do whatever you want, but don't start pissing on my parade because I'm upset the team's not going further.
I'm just glad this team is the one of a very, very small handful that gives themselves a legitimate shot to play in the Super Bowl every year.
You ever see a guy puke live on the air on radio? I'm like this close, by the way. I'm this close. What's next?
Tom Brady is kind of a douche, but I hated him because he was on the Patriots and the Boston fans.
Yeah,
I think people are just, when you have the, it's funny because I want to say that people are envious and they're jealous of the winning in Boston and New England and all that, but really I think it's the Boston sports fan that irritates the hell out of you. You know, the bandwagon jumping, bean-eating sports fans out of Boston with the Red Sox and the Bruins and the Celtics. I mean, nobody has been blessed more in the last 20 years than Boston sports fans, right?
It's without question.
Ridiculous.
It's got to be the most championships of any
city.
And
they come across as just a bunch of annoying, spoiled brats who just grate on you over and over again. Maybe that's kind of part of it, man, but I don't know. I mean, I was going to say the Patriots winning has led to some hate towards the Patriots, but we didn't hate the Bulls growing up. People loved the Bulls,
yeah,
man. They were awesome. Everybody wanted to be Michael Jordan and get a piece of that action. So what's the difference?
I think it's there. I think that arrogance is part of it. I think Bill Belichick just being everybody's villain is part of it. Like Bill Belichick, everyone, no one can stand Bill Belichick except for Patriot fans. And this year, maybe even Patriot fans can't stand Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I just know this. Like I said earlier, you got to respect the guy for what he's done. We have some stats for winners on Stats Are for Losers at 5:45 tonight, talking about what Tom Brady has accomplished. All right, 4:54, Michael Giannetti from SpotTrack.com will join us. What's the market going to be like for Chris Carson? What's the market going to be like for Shaquille Griffin? And a lot more coming up next on 950 KJR.
Some sanctimonious.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.